Tasrinamadhikamastamavidavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 13, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 11, Aspects of Transcendental Service. 1.2.185. There are two categories of this Varnashram Dasyam offered by the Vaishnavas to Krishna. Offering the auspicious among the prescribed actions according to one's nature and offerings. According to one's nature and offering only actions such as japa, meditation, and deity worship. Srila Prabhupada. In the Skanda Purana is said that those who are attached to ritualistic activities, the four orders of social life and the four orders of spiritual life are considered devotees. But when devotees are actually engaged in offering service to the Lord directly, these must be Bhagavatas, or pure devotees. Those who are engaged in fruitive activities or prescribed duties according to the four orders of social and spiritual light are not actually pure devotees. But still, because they are offering the result to the Lord, they are accepted as devotees. Right? So in other words, the aspect of karma yoga, that you're taking your karma by your nature. In other words, they're doing things because it's varnashram, rather than its service to Krishna. Right? He's also making a distinction here between the direct activities. They have japa, meditation, and deity worship, that's what they're doing as service, and that may be supported by certain activities of varnashram. The other is you're performing activities of varnashram, and then connecting those to Krishna, and also adding into, you know, your life these japa, meditation, and deity worship. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter, it's like the verse in Sarvadharma Paritya Ja, it's just a matter of which side you're doing. Is it more towards the karma yoga, or is it more towards that full surrender? Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that someone can start at the one place of what is their nature, engage that according to their nature, and then gradually develop where it's just about pure devotion. Does that make sense? So you have that aspect of trying to adjust that. That's the thing, is because the devotional process will work starting from wherever you are and then bringing that to whatever position, and bringing that to pure devotion. Does that make sense? But still, because they're offering the result to Krishna, they accept as devotees. When one has no such desire, that's why you see is it can even be counted as devotees that there's some little touch of that. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, like amongst the Hindus and stuff like that. Then you get that. But the aspect that comes is that but it's not necessarily that they're sampradayic, they're just ordinary devotees. Like maybe someone in the family is very serious or this or that, but they're not so serious. You know, therefore, because devotees you wouldn't call Hindus. But those who are, you could say, devotees, but not like committed to it or sampradayak or planning on that kind of thing, just, you know, it's all kind of bit of a kichuri, then that would be the Hindu aspect. Right? So they're based on the Veda, they're accepting the Veda. Like that. So even there you can start to connect it. But the difficulty comes up is that it becomes serious when it's about you accept the bona fide spiritual master and everything like that. So that makes sense. Yeah. The reason that the point is that they're accepted as devotees, otherwise those who are situated as devotees wouldn't give them association. Like, as a rule, you can't associate with non-devotees. You don't spend your time in that with them. You might, you know, but incidentally have to work with people and everything like that. But, I mean, that's how the karmis are. They just go to work and work there because they're there. They don't really care about the people there. Right? So it's a general kind of principle. And then you associate with your friends and family and like this. So that they will get association, they're counted in amongst as devotees. Right? Because their ultimate goal is pursuance of that, though they may not be so serious at the present. Right? Serious when we're looking at prema or bhava as standards of, you know, devotional service. Does that make sense? Yeah. Right, because remember when he started explaining it, he's explaining it from the Uttama platform. That's devotional service. Then there are those who are trying to obtain that position. Right? And then you have different divisions within that. So that makes sense, yeah. When one has no such desire but acts spontaneously out of love of God, such a person must be accepted as a pure devotee. The conditioned soul, so they're just acting spontaneously. So the Prabhupada, we even say, is he had, you know, so many devotees, they're pure devotees. Mm-hmm. Because they were just acting spontaneously in the direct activities of you know, the temple program, the deity worship, the japa, the samkirtan, the harinam. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just the festivals. That's all they were doing. They weren't doing any. They weren't practicing as such varnashram outside of that. Of course, Prabhupada said that in the temple you're running, you have to know someone's nature and how to engage them. But they don't have to be identified that way. But when you work in the greater community, many times there's an identification that way and then an engagement accordingly. Right? And so then that, because the results are given to Krishna, then there is devotional. Right? But the point is, it has to be that it's out of that natural love for Krishna. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj has that natural love for Krishna. And he does his Kshatriya duties in connection with that. So he's a pure devotee. But when we are identifying with the varnashram things, then it's less pure.
Right. A person, a devotee, was like a lot of affection, want to please senior devotee, spiritual master, he's considered like a pure devotee?
At least in that context, yes.
Yes.
You know, maybe at another time, then a little bit less. So, see, it means we tend to want to say, is it this or is it that? But the point is then what about the range? What about the development? You know what I'm saying? And if one is positively developing towards, then you call that, just like, let's say, someone's running a business. Okay? They've just started up, they put in their investment and all that. But now, how would you define what a business is? What does the business do? Makes money. It makes profit. Okay. Now, he's made his investment, he started up this business, but for the first 3 years, he's making no profit. So do we call it a business? Right? But technically, according to the definition, it's not a business. But it's in pursuance of. Therefore, we'll classify it as a business. But once it starts to make profit, now it's like, you know, so in other words, pure devotion is the goal and is the understanding. But until that happens, it's still called devotional service, or someone's still a devotee. But it's still not on the standard of what it should be. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Bhagavatam says, Sutta Goswami is telling the 9-7 messages that if all the occupational duties are not leading to the taste of hearing to the Lord's pastimes.
Right.
That the Vishwaksena Kata
Ruchihi.
Ruchi.
Yeah.
Okay. Then Shremayavai Kevala.
Yeah, that's a waste of time. Yes, one has to see that. See, what's going to be the tendency here is what's going to, in light of this verse here, then if we look at it from that aspect, is that, let's say someone's doing, okay, you have your job and all that, why you're doing that, because you're a devotee, I have to be practical. I have to pay the bills. Okay. Now, they're a devotee, but that context there, they're not acting in the what they're mentioning here as pure devotion. So it says there's two categories of varnashram. So this will be the lower. Because eventually it gets around that money from making that will be engaged in Krishna service and in case of the Vaishnavas, but you may not be actually thinking of it so much in that context. Mm. Does that make sense? Mm. It's more about you have to have a job to be practical. You have to get money. Right? But here then, by this verse, and so because it ultimately does get there, then it's not, you know, a waste of time. Mm-hmm. But it'll be in this second category, or what is defined here. It's the category where you're giving the results, that renunciation. While then the one where it's talking about the pure devotees, then for them, they only see it how it connects to Krishna. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj sees his position as a king and his ability to then engage in activities that are pleasing to Krishna. Then that takes on that quality of pure devotion. Does that make sense? So they can see it all the way through. In other words, where would you start? Okay, now if I start with, someone's a family man, they have to make money. Okay? Then that means you have to have a job. Right? And then from that, you do your job nicely, you get your money, you know, you may move up in the company, whatever it is like that. With that, you pay your bills and all that, and then, you know, all this is out. Then we'll have time left, and we can chant, we can go to the temple, and this and that. Does that make sense? But at the same time, as you know, the job has more this or that. This weekend you can't go to the temple, or you know, difficulty in regular sadhana, you know, because you have to maintain. You understand? But the point is that you're able to, you know, you and your family are able to, you know, get some time to come to the temple, and at home, then of course at home, you know, that's where we're all the pure devotees. Is, you know, we're offering everything to Krishna, and we, you know, we do some, you know, some programs there and everything like that, and yeah. But you understand how hard it is to come up from here and get it to Krishna. Mm. But now, if you start with I'm a devotee, I'm a servant of Krishna, I'm a devotee, so my only business is serving Krishna. So therefore, now how are we situated? So for us then, let's say the Grihastha Ashram, then in the same context, you know, we're taking the same person, we're just taking a different view. Mm. Right? So therefore then, they and their family are engaged in Krishna service, how much they can do, but now that because you're a Grihastha, then you're not dependent upon the temple and all that, so you are, you know, generating that yourself. So therefore, according to your nature, you have a job, and that job is able to maintain this position of devotional service. Mm-hmm. See how much easier it is this way? Yes. That's the two kinds of varnasha. You understand? Yes. So when devotees start off with being practical and all this, and we're not fanatic, and not, we're starting with this, the one. Yes. Offering the auspicious among the prescribed actions. Right? Yes. In other words, some stuff they do may not be so auspicious, so what's auspicious they'll offer. Right? But for the other one, you know, then you're offering means you're only doing auspicious activities. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So one is you're doing activities, and then what's useful of that you're offering to Krishna. The other one, you're only doing useful activities that are for Krishna. Mm-hmm. Or for Krishna, you're only doing useful activities. Does that make sense? It's a slightly difference in the mentality, but you start there, it will change how you look at it. Because if you look at it there, then it's like this. Okay, going to the means if I'm a devotee, so we're engaged, so that means myself and family are engaged in the Lord's service, so that means that what does that mean? Chanting, you know, reading, we cook, you know, everybody's got to eat, so offerings to Krishna, taking care of the, you know, whatever worship one's doing at the home, or that's very minimal and you're mainly taking part in the temple worship, you know, and doing service at the temple and festivals and something like that, right? So there may be, you know, doing some deity worship, you know, cooking for the deities or dressing deities or artiks or, you know, you're seeing that that's what you're engaged, how much you can. Now you have to maintain your position, therefore you have to have an occupation to maintain that. So in other words, in the ashram, you're engaged in the Lord's service, and so then you need a varna, means to maintain that. So then what job you would get, what service you would do, because it shouldn't affect this ashram activities. Right? You know, I mean, you have to balance it, of course. But the point is you'll do that. So therefore, maybe you won't go for that job because that will make good money, but it's a 2-hour commute, so that's 4 hours a day, and then, you know what I'm saying? So, these kind of things, then you know, it's like how you say, Let's say, or let's say, how do you go to work? Right? So if you have to commute, you drive. Now if you drive, then that means you have the car, you can do so many things with that. You know, and this and that, you have independence, you can do so many stuff like that. But while you drive, very hard to do anything else. Right? Well, you see some, they'll take the train or whatever it is like that. Then on that, they can read, they can chant, they can do work. You know, instead of they're at home, they're doing all chanting and devotional activities, but they have work to do for the office. So in that 1 hour commute, they can do that work. You know, 1 hour there, 1 hour, so that's 2 hours a day, they can do that other work. Does that make sense? So that way it doesn't get in the way of their sadhana at home. You understand? So these are what we're meaning, is that you're starting with, this is what I'm going to do devotionally, and this is my commitment, and then how to maintain that. So instead of getting that fancier place, you get a simpler place. Instead of getting the bigger job, you get the simpler job. You know? You just find what works. You know? Like that. You could have a place that's close to the temple, but, you know, it won't be as let's say, as big or roomy. Or you can go out into the boonies there, and you can have the big fancy place like that. Unfortunately, it's a 2 hour commute to come to the temple. Right? So then, since that's not very practical, then on Sundays, then you'll try to do that. Generally, you'll make it for big festivals, but, you know, if you don't feel well, if someone's this or that, then you won't even come on Sunday. But if you live in the region of the temple, then you can do on a daily basis, come on a very regular, or whenever you can, but let's say the weekends, then you can really put in time at the temple. So it's just a matter of where you're starting. Are you starting with the devotional activities and then adding into it the other aspects? You know? Or are you starting with your job and your family and then adding Krishna? So that's the two kinds of varnashram. Right? So one's considered the pure devotee and the other one is considered a devotee.
They fix identity as servant of Krishna and always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna.
Yes. Then the Yukta Vairagya is engaged. Because Yukta Vairagya means that you have a material body with material senses, a material subtle body, and you're engaging that in Krishna's service. That's called Yukta Vairagya. You understand? Just in maybe not in compliance with the contemporary usage or the popular usage where Yukta Vairagya means using something that's not Vedic or recommended, but you know, we're not fanatics and you know, we're more advanced. Right? Yukta Vairagya means you're engaging whatever is your body, mind, and words in Lord's service. That's Yukta Vairagya. And then you extend from there. So that means then you, your family, you know, your occupation, your facilities, like this. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. That is neither Yukta neither Vairagya.
The first, yeah, it's not, but it's called that because that's what I'm saying. The definition is I'm in a modern non-Vedic situation, and I'm quite comfortable with that, and so I'm using that in the Lord's service. And I say, well, don't you use airplanes? Don't you use you know your phone? And it says, yeah, but what about other things? Why are you doing that? Why are you using the airplane? You know what I'm saying? So of course like that. But then at the same time as well, you know, well, aren't you breathing the air? Whose air is it? It's not your air. You know what I'm saying? So then you have to recognize it's Krishna's air. Therefore you should be breathing for Krishna. And if you're not, then that's not Yukta Vairagya. You know what I'm saying? It's being defined that it's just modern stuff. Like that. Yeah, generally if they use, you know, Ayurveda and these kind of, they don't use the term Yukta Vairagya. You know, it's called soft preaching, like that. So,
is he still type of Vanashandama? Can we say that if a devotee focus more on the direct activity, it's going to be more easy?
Yes, you focus on the, because that's what's satisfying, that's the nature, because that's the constitutional nature.
Yes.
See, the point is, you're engaging the constitutional nature and supporting that with engaging the conditional nature,
yes,
to maintain yourself.
Yes.
Right? But if you put the focus on the conditional and then try to add constitutional, sometimes that'll be nice and sometimes it won't. That's why the kanista is not considered stable. Because depending upon the moods and situations and all that, they may be more engaged in constitutional or less.
And taste is different.
Yeah, because if we identify, no, but I have to be out in the fresh air and I have to have space and all that, that's nice, that's good. It is traditional. Of course, you should have those things. But if you're having those things and living out in the province, like that, at the expense of the association of devotees, then the identity is that I am the natural outdoor fresh air man, not I'm serving the Krishna, right? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so it's just a matter of where you start. That's why Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they pick the busiest part of town and then get a spot right there. Because it's so busy, that means everybody can come. You're walking by anyway. Like you see, some of the very first devotees. Then that was one of the things. They were walking by 26 Second Avenue and they saw the little, advertisement on the front there and said, what is this, Swami speaking on Bhakti Yoga, this, that, blah, and like that. And they thought, okay, what's that? Cool, I'll drop in. Because they live in the neighborhood. They live there in the East Village. And they walk by, so, for them to come over is, one, two, three blocks away. Anyway, they were walking down to their favorite cafe where they're going to, drink herbal tea and talk New Age stuff for 3 hours and all that. Because only those restaurants will let you sit there. So as long as you order some tea or something, you could sit there all day. They didn't care. Right? No other institution will do that. Right? They'll come and kick you out. Right? And some of them, they would even let you... Somebody's got some tea, but it's not that everybody has. It's just that something's there. Because the idea, people are there, then they'll talk. It's all the hippie ideal and stuff. And then naturally they'll get some business on the side anyway. Because if you talk long enough, then you get hungry. So then, So they're going there, so they just are going, okay, we'll go check it out. And they became devotees. So that's the principle. So what's good for association with devotees, you have to find, because it means the conditioned nature you can't ignore. And if that's where you have to start, because anything less than that, you would not be comfortable. You couldn't function. Then you start out there in the province. But then you see that out there you're chanting, you're nice, you're as much as you can. And as you get purified, then you'll start moving closer and closer. Then from the province into the suburbs, and then like this. Some sense. Yeah?
Krishna tells in Karma Yoga chapter, so as not disrupting the minds of ignorant people,
yes,
the wise will engage gradually in the activities of Krishna.
Yes, yes. So you just start from where you are. It's just a matter of the identity is so strong that you need to do that, then you should start there. And it's not a problem. And we don't say, oh, it's less or this, that, because sometimes we'll look at it from the social point of view. It's, oh, it's less of that, and I don't want to, and I'm so special, I can't be less. But it's just a matter of, no, this is where we're at. You start there. And if you engage that in Krishna's service, then you'll see then you'll give that up. It's not an identity anymore. But because if it's a useful engagement, you like the outside, okay, then yes, okay, you take care of the gardens around the temple. Or you go to the market and buy the flowers, or you do stuff that takes you out and does stuff, or you organize the retreats and take people out for the yoga and all that kind of stuff. But the difference is it's not an identity anymore. As long as it's an identity, it'll always be an obstacle. When it stops being an identity, then you can perform that activity very nicely.
Yes.
Because you're doing it because of attachment. Attachment's always going to get in the way. It may be your inspiration to perform the activity. So that's why he says don't disturb the minds of the ignorant, because they're attached. So engage that attachment. Because the only reason they're doing it is because they're attached.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If I'm a devotee, then you have the idea to be a devotee, though you may be, have a lot of material aspects to your life. But the thing is now, for children, what do you want for the children? Right? You want the best for the children. So you know that, at least in theory, being a devotee is best. So then, because there's children, you'll do a little bit more spiritual activities than you would if they weren't there. Does that make sense? So because of attachment, he's engaged in devotional service. So if you attack his attachment too strongly, then yes, he may give up some of that attachment, but he also gives up devotional service. Does that make sense? Because but as one engages that in Krishna service, the heart becomes purified, and then that problem goes away. And now they can just be engaged in the Lord's service and all that, because that's there, and naturally they're going to engage the family. Does that make sense? Okay. The conditioned souls who have come into contact with the material world are all more or less desirous of lording it over material nature. The system of Varnashrama and the prescribed duties under the system are so designed that the conditioned soul may enjoy in the material world according to his desire for sense gratification, and at the same time gradually become elevated to spiritual understanding. Under these prescribed duties of Varna and Ashram, there are many activities which belong to devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Right? Because a lot of Varna Ashram, you're supposed to be doing stuff that actually is devotional service. Like we see in Manu, is that the householder every day should go to the temple, visit saintly persons, you know, do worship, you know, these kind of things. He said respect the Brahmins and all that, or like the king has to respect the Brahmins. You know, does that make sense? So there's things written in already that you have to do. You have to chant your Gayatri. You know, you're going to do the regular yajnas and everything like this. You're going to do all these purificatory rites that so many of them, like it says, a human being, he only... What's the words? The Sanskrit words, other specific, but it means prashad or mahaprashad. Can't remember what the Sanskrit that was being used by Manu. It means that's what is offered in sacrifice, and that which is offered to the, you know, advanced personalities, right? Remnants from sacrifice, yajna shishta, and then, you know, that what is offered to the, you know, the Brahmins and the devotees like that, and their remnants. That's a rule in Manu, that the grihastha, that should be, that is the, you know, food of someone who follows Varnashram. So, like Prabhupada is saying, that there are many activities which belong to devotional service in Krishna consciousness under these prescribed duties of Varnashram. Right? So, devotional service has already been worked into. That's why Varnashram works, because of the devotional service. That's why Gyan works, because of the devotional service. Otherwise, they won't work. Right? There's nothing there for the soul. So you have to be addressing the things of the soul. At the same time, you're addressing the things that the soul thinks it needs. In other words, you're addressing what the soul does need, but at the same time, you're addressing what the soul thinks they need.
Yes.
Right? Those devotees who are householders accept Vedic ritualistic performances as well as prescribed duties of devotional service, because both are meant for satisfying Krishna. Right? So that's why our Varnashram, we're following Varnashram, but sometimes we say we're not so much. But we're following, as I mentioned, the four aspects of Varna and the Brahminical aspect of Ashram. That's just inherent in what the devotees have been doing since the 60s. Right? So, as we said, introducing Varnashram means introducing the other aspects of Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Right? And so you can say, oh, but we have grihastha before, then, you know, but, you know, everyone has to get a job. That's the meaning of it. You get a job as a Brahmin. You get a job as a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. You know what I'm saying? Specifically Shudra, but, you know, hey, being broad-minded, accommodating. So that's the idea is that then it's just a matter of how much you need to take support of the Vedic system to be engaged in devotional service, or how little. So the point is, are you using all eight positions, or basically you're functioning in those five? Right? But we see is like Yudhishthira, Mars, and others, they're situated in those five, but they're still doing the duties within those other three. You know, it's, you know, that's that. Prabhupada said he has the Vedic and the Bhagavat going side by side. You know, and for us it means the Pancharatra. So then, if you need support of the Vedic, you add that also.
Like Prabhupada in the seventh canto, the perfect society.
Yes, yes, that's the thing. Because generally, it's like in those discussions with Narad Muni and Yudhishthira Maharaj, there's five chapters that I know of. Now, the first two, generally, we take them as Varnashram. Mm-hmm. But the last three, that's showing the mood, the attitude, and everything, the application. Mm-hmm. So we generally don't look at those as much. Mm-hmm. Okay? Does that make sense? Yeah.
So is the Eastern society is more into, I can say, developing Brahminical qualities, preaching like that?
It's the Daiva Varnashram. So it's that aspect of Varnashram, but at the same time, is one can accommodate the community.
Yes.
No problem. But if you don't understand this, then how are we accommodating the community?
Yes.
How are we engaging? So then what is it? It's up to them what they do.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So if they don't engage, then you don't have any program for them.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So that's with most. You see something like in Chopati, then they go out to the program. Like you say, Monday through Friday, the brahmacharis and temple, they go out and do programs in the community. Saturday, Sunday, everyone comes to the temple.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like that. And even then, sometimes they do stuff, you know, whatever. But they're going out. They go out for the school programs and college programs and other programs and home programs, you know, in the day. And then the evening, they do home programs.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going and they're teaching pure devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
So that's then that's the cultivation. But if that's not going on, it's just then how is it community? Other than, you know, it's devotees and they have that common value of devotional
mm-hmm.
service.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't be community from the angle of the social and economic aspects mm-hmm. that devotees talk about. They talk about the social economic, but the only common point is devotional service,
mm-hmm.
that we chant Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
But the other social economic aspects, there's no common ground.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Yeah. So you have to describe these things. You have to know so people know how they can progress through.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if you don't explain it, then what will they do? In the West, they'll go to New Age, and in India, they'll become Hindus.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
They'll just go back to these other things.
Mm-hmm.
So you either explain it and train it, or they will do that. Because you can't function without religion. And so even if you're functioning within that Daiva aspect, you still have to explain what it is so people know how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So the Daiva Varnashram is naturally those five, but it can extend into all eight very comfortably. But unless you start with the five, how does that, like we saw, you start with the ashram activities of devotional service, then you include the family, then you include the occupation. Right? Because you're engaged in devotional service, therefore your family is engaged, and you have to maintain them, therefore the occupation. Right? Not that you start with the occupation, and then kind of work in, you know, if you get any time with your family or any time chanting. So, when you're upset with the family, then you have sadhana to perform, and when you're upset with devotional service, I got to spend time with the family. Right? And when you don't like either, is that I got stuff to do at work. Yeah. I'll have to stay late today, right? You know, your very important work, which means going with your friends down to the pub. Yeah. Under these prescriptions, Those devotees who are householders accept Vedic ritualistic performances as well as the prescribed duties of devotional service because both are meant for satisfying Krishna. When householder devotees perform some Vedic ritualistic duties, they do so to satisfy Krishna. As we have previously discussed, any activity aiming at satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead is considered devotional service. So here, seeing that the acharyas and that, and they split the two, mm-hmm. but then it's not very clear. Mm-hmm. Right? But you know that there's two. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't know that, when you read Prabhupada's, you'll think it's just one.
Yes.
But now seeing that what Rupa Goswami said, you can see the two in Prabhupada, and now by hearing Prabhupada's explanation, now you understand what Rupa Goswami said.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
That's what we're talking about. They don't say any different. That's why you approach the previous acharyas through your acharya.
Yes.
Then you can see. Srila Jiva Goswami. There are two types of offering obligatory actions in Varnashram. Swabhavikam here means those impressions attained from previous lives, which give one a particular identity in the Varnashram system. Among those actions prescribed by that identity, only those that are auspicious are offered to the Lord, and not others, such as cleaning oneself with earth after passing nature. Right? You don't have to offer. It means now that you're clean, you go to the temple. That's the part. So that auspicious part, the abhigamana, walking in, ringing the bell. You know, in other words, it starts there, ring the bell, yeah. As well, japa and other spiritual actions, which are part of Varnashram activities, are offered. Right? Because it said, Varnashram, it says that the most important duty a Brahmin can perform is japa. Right? So it's part of the Varnashram. If the Vaishnava offers these two types of actions to Krishna, they are called dasyam. Right? Does that make sense? So, the two are there. So they're engaging what we call the direct activities and the indirect. So when you're engaging both the direct and indirect, we call that dasya. Because we'll see, Atmanivedam, there's only, you don't see anything other than Krishna, service to Krishna. Okay. Oh, here it is. 1.2.186. Some persons say that this offering of duties by a person with weak faith in bhakti and a slight qualification for prescribed duties is called dasya. So, does that make sense? So, it's not so strong. It's not kamal shraddha, or, you know, it's weak. It hasn't come to that uttama shraddha, because that generally is considered that's pure devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you're stable, when you're steady, and you're fixed like that, then that's considered solid, strong faith. Right? Srila Prabhupada. Rupa Goswami describes one who is fit for becoming engaged in devotional service. He says that persons who are neophytes and have developed a little love of Godhead are not interested in the activities of sense gratification in proportion to their devotion. Right? So that's the point, is that they're devotees, they have a little love for Krishna, they're not interested in the activities, but in proportion to their devotion. So in more devotion, less interest. Less devotion, a little bit more. But the point is it's gauged in connection with that interest in Krishna, therefore the reduction in interest in sense gratification. Right? So you're still using the devotional measurement. Right? We're not using a Varnashram measurement or any other measurement. We're just using that of devotional service. Right? Then If it's small on there, it's a little bit, then that's the neophyte. And then it's a little bit more, then it's a madhyama. And then when it's quite, that's prominent, then that's the uttama. And then when that comes to the highest stage, that is prema. Okay? But if there is still some attraction for sense gratifying activities, then results of such activities should be offered to Krishna. Right, so they've reduced that and they're just engaged nicely, so they're just doing their duties. But if there is some sense gratification interest, then the results of that, means the auspicious parts, are offered to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
This is also called engagement in the service of the Lord, with the Lord as the master and the worker as the servant. Right, because if you have some sense gratification, that it's not exactly spontaneous devotional service. So therefore, you're engaging things because he's God and you're his servant. Therefore, dasya, the term dasya. Right? Srila Jiva Goswami. Is this... Oh, okay. On there, notice the Srila Jiva Goswami, that should be in bold. Huh? Just mention that to him. Actually, japa and meditation are considered angas of pure bhakti, even without offering them after performance. Right? Because they're being done, they're connected to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? They're about Krishna. So it's not that you need to offer them. It's just like in the Varnashram, then they would perform their japa, and then, you know, there's offering in that. You know, there's the calling, the mantra and all this, and there's ascending, and there's all prayers, and it's just a whole thing. You know, we have enough trouble just getting the Gayatri chanted, let alone doing Sandhyabandhana. Right? Does that make sense? It means we're having trouble with Gayatri, it's like 3 minutes, right? But Sandhyabandhana, the whole thing, would take 10 minutes. Right? And we're only chanting, you know, a few times. While they would chant 108,008, so it would actually take them longer.
Three times,
yeah. So they might regulate, you know, noon might be less, and the evening and morning maybe more, or different like that, but still, you know, it's like that. However, offering the auspicious items among the prescribed duties are not angas of bhakti. Therefore, the author does not approve the first type of offering mentioned in the previous verse. Mm-hmm. That is stated in this verse. Some people call this offering with weak face dasya. It says some people. Not everybody. This is a summary description of the first type of offering mentioned in verse 185. However, this is very different from the offerings of real dasya mentioned in the following verse. Right? Hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of the Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord as one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him, in other words, serving him with the body, mind, and words. These 9 processes offered to the Lord by a person are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life in the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he's acquired complete knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23-24. So he's saying, this is the second. So it's these direct activities of devotional service. Mm-hmm. Like that. And the indirect, that you're doing the activity and then offering the result, he's saying technically it's not what we call devotion. Devotional service. That's why he says real dasya. But it's counted as dasya because they're, like Prabhupada said, they're accepted as devotees. Like that. But still, because they're offering the result to the Lord, they are accepted as devotees. So they're not actually pure devotees. So we're, the definition here is pure devotees are actually devotees. And those in pursuance of pure devotion are accepted as devotees. But one should always understand that as pure devotion, that's the devotional platform. That's why then it's a standard thing to be humble. Right? Because one isn't a devotee until you get to pure devotion. And then there, the pure devotees, they are humble anyway. You understand? So anyone's proud, then that's something mixed. Right? So here, they're doing all these activities. But at the same time, as they're engaging the others, so they just come along with it. So they come into that fire. So you don't necessarily make a distinction. So technically, they themselves aren't specifically devotional service. Because someone may be following Varnashram and doing these things, but they're not technically devotees. Right? Does that make sense? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Right? So if we see this, then we know what we're trying for. And if even you're in the lower state, but you're trying for this higher, that's accepted as devotees. But you have to understand it's because it's connected to that higher. That's why it's devotional. And then make it. So the whole thing on whether we follow Varnashram or not, that's a secondary point. It's are we following the 9 processes or not? Then, as support of that, so since you have to use some social economic system anyway, why not use gods instead of something speculative? Right? And so, in other words, if we're engaged in devotional service, that's theistic. Why wouldn't you use the support for that that's also theistic? Does that make sense? Yeah. Otherwise, we can use something else. It's just like, okay, let us say we want to deep fry a whole bunch of stuff. Right? So now, using a karai, right, or a wok, is going to be the easiest. Because that's what it's for. Now, technically, you can fry something on a tawa. You know, the tawa, that funny little thick iron plate that they cook chapatis on. But it's not as easy. You have to really know what you're doing to do that. Now, if you go out in the Bengali village, that's all they do because they don't want to use the extra oil. But the point is that you choose the thing according to its support. Does that make sense? So therefore, then the question on why we'd use Varnashram, because it's also theistic, it's come from Krishna. And so since we're engaged in theistic activities, why not use as primary activities, why not use a theistic secondary as support? Why would we want to use a non-theistic and then claim it's exactly the same, if not better? You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's there. It's natural. The Vaishnavas are going to use Varnashram. But then many will consider that it itself is devotional service. No, it's not. It's connection to the direct activities that makes it devotional. So because you have the job, because you get the money, because of that you maintain the family, therefore you're coming to the temple and worshiping the deity, that now it's connected. But only at that point it is. But if you're always hearing, chanting, remembering about the Lord, even you're doing these other activities, then they're naturally connected. You don't call it Varnashram. You know, you think of Yudhishthira Maharaj as a devotee. He's following Varnashram, but you don't think of him as a member of the Varnashram society. Okay. Does that make sense?
No, it is always a question of identification.
It's identification, yes.
And if you as a devotee, it's more easy.
Yes.
If you don't identify it, you need to find something.
Yes, exactly. That's the Naham Vipro Nachan Narapadir Napi Vaishnava Shudra. Lord Chaitanya says that. But you see, he follows all the duties of a Brahmin and there's a sannyasi. So as a Brahmin, he does those things, as a grihastha, as a teacher, then as a sannyasi. He follows those because they're supportive of the position. But the point is it's all about remembering and being absorbed in the Lord. That's the Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Since it has already been stated that pure bhakti should not be covered by jnana or karma, this type of dasya cannot be accepted in uttama bhakti. This type of person has weak faith. That means the person lacks firm faith that by bhakti to the Lord alone everything is accomplished. Right? They think that you have to have these other things, otherwise it just is not going to function. You know, it's just like we have to be realistic and all that. How many years was that person in the temple living just fine? It means years and years and years. No struggle. And then somehow or another, that's not practical. He didn't get by. You know? Yeah, that's the whole thing. So that's the whole thing. So one thinks that other things have to be there. You know what I'm saying? So the point is why there's an occupation, because Krishna says. But we're saying you have to be practical. It has nothing to do with Krishna. Right? But, you know, Varnashram, that means it's there because Krishna's given the order. Therefore, he comes and he plays this Lord Chaitanya as a Brahman, as Krishna is a Vaishya, as in Dwarka, he's a Kshatriya. Right? So then he performs the duties there, because that's how the whole system works. But it's not that's devotional service. It's being engaged in devotional service. Right? Yeah, so you see, it's an interesting point, because if someone overemphasizes that it is devotional service, we'll say, no, it's not. And if someone else says, that's not devotional service, those are nonsense, they're not devotees, we'll say, yes, it is. So you're trying to get that balance. Because it's about Krishna, not about the external form of it. It's not whether it's Varnashram or not, it's whether it's connected to Krishna. How you're absorbed in Krishna. So, yeah. 1287. Dvitiyam yata naradiye iti yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira. Nikilas vap yavastasu jivan mukta sak uchyate. 187. The second type of dasyam is illustrated in Naradiya Purana. Right? So the first one means faith is weak and you're engaging in the Bhagavat, the direct and in the indirect activities, but giving the results of those activities to Krishna. Otherwise, if you're not, then it won't be counted as that. Right? I'm doing all these secondary things, I'm not giving those to Krishna, but I am doing direct activities. I go to the temple, I chant japa. Right? So it won't be counted as dasya. Dasya means that the two go together. Right? Otherwise, it'll just be counted as you go to the temple, you offer prayers, or you're worshipping the deity, or you're worshipping Tulsi, so it's padasevanam, or, you know, these aspects. Does that make sense? Yes. It'll be those, but you won't say that he's also engaged those aspects. So the direct activities, yes, but the indirect is not connected Krishna, so you can't call it dasya.
Yes, because
direct and indirect must be Krishna. Yes. The second kind of dasyam is illustrated in Naradiya Purana. He who has the desire to serve the Lord with actions, mind, and words in this world is called the liberated jiva in all circumstances. So this is the second type of dasya. Means he's always engaged. Srila Prabhupada. Yes. So you see, the other one, it has to be explained so you understand how it's not devotional service, but how it is devotional service. So it's a very fine line. This one, then, you know, it's very straightforward. One thing, Srila Prabhupada, one sentence. Jiva Goswami, one sentence. Hari Bal. Right? In the Naradiya Purana, there's a statement of how this servitorship is transcendental. It is said, because there's the engaging it in transcendental, or it is transcendental. It is said there that a person who is constantly engaged in devotional service by his body, mind, and words, or even a person who is not practically engaged but simply desiring to be so, is considered to be liberated. Desiring to be so means that's the consistent position. His desire is consistent, though his engagement may not be consistent. Right? Then that's still considered, you know, properly situated. Because we'll take it by the secondary. No, until that. That's why you see the emphasis is it's mentioned, but you can't put the emphasis on the activities. It's on the attitude. Yes. Then that attitude naturally reflects the direct activities will be the prominence. Mm-hmm. And then if it's there but not the prominence and other things are also, then that's that first kind of dasya. Yes. But when serving the Lord, the direct activities are the prominence, which may be supported by the indirect, then it's the second type. Mm-hmm. So it's the prominence and the consciousness. Mm-hmm. Yes? Srila Jiva Goswami. The author indicates his own opinion with a glorification of this type of dasya. Iha dasya here means having the desire for servitude. One should have the desire, quote, I am your servant, end quote. So he says it's giving your opinion, meaning that this is there and this is what's coming down. This is, so you know this is what you should do. Just like Krishna gives so many things you can do, religious processes in Gita, and then he says, in my opinion, so that's the one you should do. The other ones you can engage, they're bona fide. But you should be trying to get to the one that Krishna says, in my opinion, about. Right? So there's a difference here. So Krishna's saying, in my opinion, and Rupa Goswami or Jivive saying, in my opinion, that's fine. When we start saying, in my opinion, then you know there's a problem there. Or if someone asks you, so in your opinion, what do you... No. That's not for us. What?
My opinion is Rupa Goswami's good opinion.
Yeah, but still, it's not because of our opinion that it gives it authority. That's the thing. So their opinions give it authority. It's correct according to Shastra, and then they show exactly, because both of these are there. But he's showing that it's the second one that is the standard. So the first one, if it's in pursuance of the standard, then it's dynamic. But otherwise, it's there, yes, it'll be there, but how long you'll be situated there, you know? Does that make sense? Yeah, that's the point. Yes.
Maharaj, most of your class, you say primary and secondary. Primary, direct or indirect?
Primary is direct. Secondary is indirect.
So this, how one can make an indirect service?
You can't make a secondary service or an indirect primary. You can engage it in the primary service. Like, how do you make iron into fire? You can't do that, but if you put the iron in fire, it becomes as good as. You understand? So, our constitutional nature, that's, and engaging that in Krishna service, that's the primary. Our conditional nature, then taking that and engaging in Krishna service, that means it's in the fire of devotional service. Does that make sense? So, the conditional nature means what's the body, the mind, the word, so then you're seeing that those are engaged. So when they're fully engaged, that it's only about devotional service, being in the fire, at that point you don't make a distinction. Does that make sense? Like, I have a piece of iron, you know, I take it off the table, put it in your hand. It's a piece of iron. Okay? Now I say, or we'll put this piece in the fire while we're talking. Right? Discussing this. But now if you make too much the point that no, it's still iron, then okay, here, I'll take it out of the fire and let's put it in your hand. Right? Because it acts as fire. So because it's acting as fire, you don't need to make the distinction. So in the second form, you don't have to make the distinction in indirect, because they're going to engage everything in Krishna's service. But when we do make that distinction, then we are showing what is indirect and what's direct. Not that we can't show what's direct and indirect, but they're both in the fire, so it doesn't matter. So that's why it's a subtle point.
Yes. But if you're devoted, there's no distinction.
There's no distinction, but you can make the distinction. Does that make sense? There's no distinction. But you can make the distinction if you need. Does that make sense? But there's no need to make the distinction. But the conditioned soul, you need to make the distinction because of their conditioning, they make the distinction. Right? In other words, if you're making a distinction, you need to make a distinction. If you're not making a distinction, you don't need to make one. It's just like this. For the, you know, 4-year-old boy walks into the room when all the ladies are dressing the bride and they're all getting dressed for the wedding. Do we need to make a distinction here? No. Okay. What if, you know, one of the, you know, those who are in their teens or that walk into the room? Then you make a distinction. Because they make a distinction. So the child makes a distinction. You don't have to. If you see only everything in connection with Krishna, you don't have to distinguish. It's natural that those things that are direct are going to give more taste than the indirect. So that's why they'll prefer those and only do the indirect as much as necessary. So that, because hearing and chanting has so much taste, the grihastha will only engage in the activities that maintain the grihastha life, the indirect, as much as necessary to maintain it. You won't do more because you would use that more time to hear and chant. Does that make sense? So you don't have to make the distinction because it's only in support of. Like, how long do you leave the sabji in the pan? As long as it needs. You don't leave it in there longer. It's not like the pan's doing something for it, you know? What does it do? You know? Does that make sense? Okay. One, two, 188. Okay, friendship. Right? So then you had Dasyam, now Sakyam. This here? Okay. There are two types of Sakyam, trust and being friendly. Srila Prabhupada. Devotional service and friendship. Devotional service and friendship can be divided into two categories. The first is to act as the confidential servant of the Lord, and the other is to act as the well-wisher of the Lord. The devotee who has confidence in devotional service to the Lord systematically follows the rules and regulations with the faith that he will achieve the platform of transcendental life. The second type of devotional friendship is to become a well-wisher of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita 18:69, it is said that the Lord accepts a preacher as the most dear servant. Anyone who is preaching the confidential message of the Gita to the people in general is so dear to Krishna that no one can be equal to him in human society. Mm-hmm. Right? So this other is being a well-wisher, because Lord Chaitanya wants to see all these living entities exposed to Krishna consciousness. So if you're doing that, you're a well-wisher. Right? And if someone says he has trust in the Lord, therefore he follows the process, engages in the activities, he knows that this is going to... So you see, both moods are there. And they both qualify. Srila Jiva Goswami. The first type is the opinion of others. The second type is the opinion of the author. Mitra here means friendship in general, rather than the Shakya Stai Bhava that appears only in Bhava and Prema. Right, so they're again making that distinction. Is that it is in general. It's not the specifics, because you don't have the Rati. It's friendship towards the Lord, but it doesn't have that Sakya Rati. Just like the Dasyam doesn't have the Dasya Rati. Right? So it's different from the Rasa. But it has elements. Such a tendency is described in the Bhagavatam. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men, and all the other inhabitants of Vrajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune, because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman, has become their friend, Mitra. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14-32. To identify with such a position of friendship is called Sakya. The first type, trust, is described in Mahabharata. O Govinda, remembering again and again your promise that your devotee will never perish, I maintain my life. Srila Prabhupada. In the Mahabharata, Draupadi says, my dear Govinda, your promise is that your devotee can never be vanquished. I believe in that statement. And therefore, in all kinds of tribulations, I simply remember your promise, and thus I live. End quote. The purport is that Draupadi and her five husbands, the Pandavas, were put into severe tribulations by their cousin brother Duryodhana, as well as by others. The tribulations were so severe that even Bhishmadev, who was both a lifelong brahmachari and a great warrior, would sometimes shed tears thinking of them. Right? Because, lifelong brahmachari means he just doesn't have... He's not dependent on emotional, kind of support or anything. At the same time, as he's a great warrior, so they tend to also be a little less sentimental. But he was saying it's so great that even he would shed tears, right? He was always surprised that although the Pandavas were so righteous, and Draupadi was practically the goddess of fortune, and although Krishna was their friend, still they had to undergo such severe tribulations. Though their tribulations were not ordinary, Draupadi was not discouraged. She knew that because Krishna was their friend, ultimately they would be saved. Right? So that's then the point. You trust Krishna, you know that you just engage, everything will be taken care of. Like that. You just serve Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami. This is the statement of Draupadi. It will be shown later that since she is an associate of the Lord on the level of high prema, the statement is the result of elevated prema, not sadhana. Still, it may be used as an example of sadhana, since even those on the level as high of prema will sometimes act on the level of sadhana. The next verse, 190, which is taken from the section of Bhagavatam describing the Uttama devotees, who are beyond sadhana, should also be understood in a similar way. Later, the section in the Bhagavatam concludes with the words pranaya rasaya dri tangri padma. One who has thus captured the Supreme Lord within his heart is to be known as a Bhagavat Pradhana, the most exalted devotee of the Lord. Footnote 3. Okay, that's from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.255. Footnote 3. Here, pranaya is mentioned, which indicates that the Uttamadhikari is at the highest level of prema, not sadhana. Nevertheless, verse 190 quotes this as an example of Vishvasa in sadhana bhakti, for the same reason explained in the present commentary. Right? So in other words, that's the point, is that these positions, they can be in both places. It can either be we're sadhakas in the position of sadhana, or someone in the Uttama platform may have this mood. And, you know, that appears like that of a sadhana. So in either case, it's useful for us. It's applicable. 1.2.1.90. Trust in the Lord is also illustrated in the 11th canto. The lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are sought even by the greatest of demigods, such as Brahma and Shiva, who have all accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their life and soul. A pure devotee of the Lord can never forget those lotus feet in any circumstance. He will not give up his shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord even for a single moment. Indeed, not even for half a moment. Even in exchange for the benediction of ruling the entire universe and taking the post of a devata, such a devotee of the Lord is to be considered the best of the Vaishnavas. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.53. Srila Prabhupada. A similar statement is there in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd chapter, verse 53, where Havi, the son of King Rishabha, addresses Maharaj Nimi. My dear king, a person who never deviates even for a moment from the engagement in service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Person, engagement which is sought even by great demigods like Indra, with firm conviction that there is nothing more worshipable or desirable than this, is called the first class devotee. Mm-hmm. And so they're always situated. That's the position. Mm-hmm. So one may have that first class faith, so one is stable and steady in this, but the practices may take some time to catch up. Mm-hmm. Or we see like here, where they never deviate for you know, even a moment. Mm-hmm. So that's the point. Srila Jiva Goswami. Tri Bhuvana Vibhava Hetave. Domination of the three worlds and causes of that domination is used instead of Tri Bhuvana Vibhavaya, domination of the three worlds, for emphasis. The meaning is, the devotee does not deviate from his remembrance of the Lord for the domination in the three worlds and even for the post of those who bestow such powers. Mm-hmm. Right, so in other words, Indra and all them, but who gives those posts? You know, Brahma, Shiva, and like that. The singular form is used instead of Tribhuvana Vibhava Hetubhyam, according to the rule that Dandva compound with a collective meaning can ultimately be used in the singular case. Right, so, you know, he's writing, so he'll make it so it works nicely. So that's the thing, they know all this, so they can write. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The statement of the Siddha devotee Draupadi is not that of sadhana bhakti. The statement of this verse, an expression of a Siddha bhakta on the Uttama bhakti level, is also not sadhana bhakti. The Siddha bhaktas also partake of the angas of Sakya and Atmani Vedana. These angas are not exclusive to sadhana bhakti. Right, so for us, it may be positions that we try to establish ourselves in as sadhakas, but at the same time, in the Uttama platforms, they belong there also. That's the point. Devotional service is the process. Devotional service is the end, the goal. It will be said, friendship and offering the self and body are rare because of the difficulty in performance in sadhana. However, some wise men have considered that these two qualify as part of sadhana. Right? So, Bhakti Rasamrita 1.2.198. So it will be said, right? So, because we're on 91 now. Right? Or 90. So, some wise have considered these are part of sadhana. At the same time, they're rare because of the difficulties. So, therefore, you see them manifest generally in more advanced positions. But at the same time, is that they can be classified within sadhana. So there's always this overlap. Right? Why? Because the soul, by nature, is part and parcel of Krishna, they're transcendental. Naturally, there's an overlap. Right? It's only because the soul identifies with the material, therefore, then it has that form. Thus, it should be understood that only some rare persons performing sadhana, who are almost siddhas, are qualified for these angas, and not all sadhakas. Right, so you see, most sadhakas, it'll come up to that point of dasyam. Sakyam, it'll be very rare. Right? Tribhuvana vibhava hetave. Akunta smriti means that the devotee is not disturbed in his remembrance of the Lord even after hearing, "Give up remembering the Lord for a second and I will give you the dominion of the three worlds." End quote. Therefore, this best of the Vaishnava does not waver from the lotus feet of the Lord, which is sought but not attained by the devatas, who cannot control their senses. Ajitatma. Right? That's the example given as Haridas Thakur. And is not distracted. But we see that Vishwamitra is. Right? So, Vishwamitra then, you know, being a great sage and that moving through the planetary system, they just send an apsara. Right, with Haridas Thakur, because he's here on this planet, then they send a prostitute. When that doesn't work, then we see that Maya Devi herself comes. Right, so that's way beyond but Vishwamitra, and still, he doesn't, you know, he's not worried about it.
In case of Chitraketu Maharaj also, and Parvati curses Chitraketu Maharaj, Lord Shiva says, the devotees of Lord Vishnu, either they are in hell, or in heaven, they don't forget the Lord.
They don't forget, yes.
So, as Grasarai was giving instructions.
Yes, yes. So then even as a demon, he's giving instructions on pure devotional service to Indra,
yes.
Right? Who's definitely a sadhaka, right?
Now he's
kind of
a faith.
Faith, yes. That's the whole point. So they just have that complete faith in Krishna. So then, yeah. So they don't get distracted. So to that degree, you don't get distracted. Means that that degree we're advancing.
Yes.
Okay. So that, 17. Yeah. So it's just a matter of what works. You know, come along. You know, it's a fast day. You want to eat this? No. You know, eat that? No, no. Like this. You come along with something you really like. Well, maybe. Don't want to be for that. Yeah. So we know we're pretty much advanced, but there's a little bit more to go. Right? 1.2.191. The cause of qualification for bhakti is shraddha alone. Right? So that's what's said here. The next verse. This is what we mean by manana. Is you're taking that, you're contemplating it, and then naturally the point you make is the next verse, or the question that comes up in the next. That's what we mean. That's contemplation. Does that make sense? That means then we'll assimilate. We'll be able to practice. Yeah.
There's some internal work.
And it's just expected. As we move through, the internal work becomes more prominent. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, because we see that you should be doing devotional service and this and that is not being explained here. Here now is talking about the finities within that practice. So we always have to appreciate and understand that, and so we're applying. Yes? Okay. The cause of qualification or bhakti is shraddha alone. The particular element, vishvasa, to Keshava may be considered an anga of that. Srila Prabhupada, Sri Rupa Goswami says that a neophyte devotee who has simply developed a slight love of Godhead is certainly a prospective candidate for devotional service. Because we can say, oh, but there's just a neophyte, it's only slightly, you know, what is this? But the point is all souls are inherently devotees of Krishna. So if there's any the slightest inclination, because that's what they're supposed to be doing anyway. So that's why then there is that broad-mindedness, that accommodating of that. But if someone then thinks, no, see, I'm advanced in that, says, no, prema is advanced. Does that make sense? That distinction is then made at that point. So as long as you're progressing along like that, there's encouraged. As soon as you stop and think that, you know, I'm doing great, then it's kind of like, no, there's a little bit more to go. When he becomes firmly fixed in such devotional service, that assured status becomes a confidential part of his devotional service. So that being fixed, right? So then it becomes part of his devotional service. So that having that being fixed in that faith, that then becomes an anga of bhakti. Right?
Yes.
And fixed means Nishta? Yeah, fixed can mean that, but it just means you're stable. So we would say that, but it can be there and beyond. Nishta just means that that's where you first start seeing where there's a stability in the devotional service. That faith is stable, not sometimes is, sometimes not. Like that. That's before. That's Anishta Bhakti. So up to that point. So those first stages, Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajana, Kriya, Narda, Nivriti, those are considered Anishta Bhakti because it's not stable because of attachment. So sometimes you're really, really absorbed and sometimes not. Like you go to the temple, the kirtan's there, it's so absorbed, you're so in ecstasy talking about it, this and that. But then, you know, 2 weeks later, then, you know, something happened, you don't feel very good, and so you don't really want to go, or this and that. So then, that's the point. It's not stable. You know what I'm saying? Like that, yeah. So, but then from there, they're stable from there all the way through to prema. But just prema is the most stable. Right, so it's just you study. It's something where then you see that quality, just like Shraddha is there all the way through. But then it's at its most maturity at prema. Just like Sadhusanga is most its maturity at prema. The Bhajana Kriya is the most mature at prema. You know, there is the, you know, what anarthas are there, right? Because that means there's nothing there. So that's its most mature at prema. Being stable, having a taste, the attachment, the ecstasy, that's the most mature in prema. But you see elements of that, being that prema is the bud of, bhava is the bud of prema. So then elements of that becomes the elements of those are used, and that becomes that process of sadhana. That gets you to bhava, which gets you to prema. So we're only dealing with real elements here. There is no, you know, pseudo elements. There's no imitation, no faux. Right? It's all real. Sahajiyas, those are, that's faux devotional service. Does that make sense? Yeah. Does that make sense? You know faux? Faux, you know? Imitation. F-A-U-X. No, faux just means imitation. Right? So, sahaja, they're imitation devotees. They're not real. Because it's not about Krishna.
This is a French word.
Huh?
This is a French word.
F-A-U-X? No?
It's French.
It's French. Not French?
It's French.
You know, we've brought it over from fashion world, from couture, but it's the same thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Like that. Like India, they're very good at making imitation things. It looks real, but it's not real. Do you understand? So, see how subtly Prabhupada's mentioned those differences here?
Yes.
That particular element, Vishvasa, to Kesha, may be considered an anga of that. That assured status becomes a confidential part of his devotional service. Prabhupada's saying the same thing. He's fixed in devotional service, right? When he becomes firmly fixed, that assured status becomes a confidential part of his devotional service. Prabhupada so subtly, especially where, so that we'll stay on and focus on the primary, we won't get distracted by this. Well, am I doing the primary, secondary, but I want to do primary, you know, I'm going to do this main one, I don't want to be the other one and all that, because this is better and all that. You know, it's one of those, if you're discussing it, you're not there. you know, yeah. So, because it's not social prestige, it's just a matter of where you are, how to engage yourself, that's all. Truly, but you know you can be, that's the whole point, you know you can be engaged, but you know what you're trying to get to. That's the wonderfulness of devotional service, is that anyone can be engaged, but there is a standard. Right? Srila Jiva Goswami. Though the terms Shraddha and Vishvasa are synonyms, Since there is an abundant use of the words in a different context, Shraddha referring to the first stage and Vishwasa to a later stage, they are used with separate meanings here. The word matra, indicating exclusiveness, is used with Shraddha to acknowledge it as the best and necessary means for producing results in bhakti as a whole. Right? It just means exclusive faith. It's just about Krishna, not about that something else is going to. The word visesha, meaning particular or excellent, is used with vishvasa to acknowledge vishvasa as the practice for bringing about a particular result of Shraddha, and also being the topmost result of Shraddha. Because Shraddha and Vishvasa have been mentioned in this verse, the two previous quotations, verses 189 to 90, illustrate Shraddha and Vishvasa in that order. Right? So, they're synonyms, and they can be used in both ways, but it's also, we see that these terms, that they can be used is that the Shraddha is the first stage and Vishvasa is the latter. So Shraddha, only by Shraddha, then you get situated, you move forward. And as that becomes exclusive, that will make you go forward. And then the excellence or the particular aspect, the particular result of that. So they have that particular absorption. Does that make sense?
Vishwasa is used in relationships.
In relationships, yes. And then Shraddha's in...
Shraddha, basically, they use... Like you should have faith in studies.
Yes, like yes. So it's just like Mother Jashoda. Her Vishwasa is in parental rasa.
Yes.
So it's exclusive. It's particular. It's excellent. It's vishesha. It's unique.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So then it has that. While the Shraddha and the others use this as being fixed in there, that's why you'll progress.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say, then prema is mature Shraddha,
mm-hmm.
and which it is, but then they tend to use at that time, call it, what do you call it? Vishvasa.
Mm-hmm.
But they're technically synonyms. Mm-hmm. Tattva
is used for principle.
Sorry?
Tattva. Used for principle, it's also truth.
Yes.
It's obtained for truth, absolutely.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you're defining and everything is tattva. Okay.
And like Shingi uses that for Krishna, says that, tell me in principle, Ruhim from Krishna Tatvena, you tell me in principle what happened over there. It also means, tell me the truth of what happened over there exactly in the Buddha.
Okay. One two 192. The second type of friendship is illustrated in the Agastya Samhita. A person who is dedicated to serving the Lord and out of friendship sees and treats him as a human, lies down in the Lord's temple. 1.2.193. The last example should be classed as Raganuga Sadhana because of disregard for Vaidhi Sadhana. However, attraction for feelings of friendship is cultivated in both Raganuga Sadhana and Vaidhi Sadhana. Because you do have those. You do have those who have the aspect of friendship that it'll be in Vaidhi. But that's just, you know, they'll follow the rules more and the other one won't. So a lot of times in these two, the difference is Vaidhi or Rag. But at the same time, it's not that the second one can't be there in Vaidhi also. Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes it is found that a pure devotee lies down in the temple of the Lord in order to serve him as a confidential friend. Such friendly behavior of a devotee may be accepted as raganuga or spontaneous, although according to regulative principles, no one can lie down in the temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spontaneous love of Godhead may be grouped under devotional service and friendship. Right? Because then it'll take more of the flavor of that original. Though it may not be that that's the rasa. You know what I'm saying? So there's all these subtle kind of connections. Does that make any sense? Or,
yeah. Sometimes, sometimes one devotee was over sleeping in the temple in order for security reasons.
For?
Security.
But that's at night. The deities aren't open.
Yes.
But this is talking about when the deities are open.
Okay.
You know, so it's just a matter of the mood and all that. They might lie down there and you talk to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Who knows? It's just that that's their business, not ours.
Yes.
You know. But if someone does it and you say, "Why are you doing that?" and he goes, "You know, it's raganuga, so, you know, bhakti." You know, then that's when you call in the guys with the suits and the little things, the little, you know, how you say, hearing thing in their ears. And,
yeah.
Yes, please come. We have a special room for you. Srila Jiva Goswami. Even though verse 192 is certainly classed as an anga of Raganuga, which will be discussed later, the verse is quoted to show that there are examples of Sakya within Vaidhi Bhakti, which follow after the mood of Raganuga, predominate Vaidhi Bhakti with a tinge of informality. Right? So the Vaidhi can be following after that, so it won't be as strict in that, though one is a Vaidhi is a sadhaka, right, and following Vaidhi, but it'll be in the mood following that mood. Footnote 4. This could be represented by a person who starts out practicing Vaidhi Bhakti for Vraja Krishna, and by association gradually incorporates to some degree Raganuga sadhana in his worship of Vraja Krishna. Probably he would advance to pure Raganuga later. Others may incorporate Sakya for Krishna and Dwarka. In their worship, similar to Arjuna's relationship. But it would not be classed as Raganuga, since Raganuga by definition refers only to worship of Vraja Krishna. Right? So there's showing is that you do have that friendship. And then that equal friendship, but it still has it's not called Raganuga. So that's there are these slight subtleties. You know, we like them in very nice, clear, clean boxes. But the point is it's the mood and the flavor, because there's an overlap, because you're using the same things. Mm. You know, it's like saying, you know, is this frying pan used for, you know, Indian cooking, or is it used for Thai cooking, or is it used for French cooking? Which is it? It can only be used for, what do you mean, what are you talking about? Mm. But how they'll use it will be different. Does that make sense? Sakyarati here means attraction for the mood of friendship rather than the Sakyarati in relation to Krishna developed from Raganuga Bhakti. Right? So it's just, it has that friendly mood, but it's not that it's friendship Rati. Right? Because the point is one's not established in your relationship. So it's just there's that friendship towards the Lord. So it's either friendship in the way of the trust, or friendship in the way of the, what was the other one? Trust and Vishwasa. Yeah, that, you know, just absorbed in the Lord. So generally that would be Rag, but the friendship can be both.
Trusting, being friendly.
Friendly, yeah, just being friendly.
So now this trust and being friendly can be developed without having the eternal position.
No. Without having the
eternal position.
No. Yeah, yes, it can be.
It can be.
Yeah, point. That's the point, is that it doesn't mean that because friendship is developed that your eternal position is going to be in Sakyarati.
Yes, yes.
It just means that there's that natural kind of friendship. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The Sakya in the form of friendliness, Mitra, should be classed as Raganuga. Though all the previous angas can be performed as Raganuga by disregarding the emphasis on rules, it should be understood that the Mitra aspect of Sakya reveals mainly the path of Rag. However, on both paths, Vaidhi and Raganuga, feelings of friendliness arise as part of sadhana, can produce Sakyarati. So either way, whether you're going through Vaidhi, whether you're going through Rag, it can develop Sakyarati. But it doesn't mean that it's Raganuga. Like the example of Arjuna, it's not Raganuga.
Yes.
Right? But he is in Sakyarati.
Yes.
It's not just friendship. Right? It's the actual rasa. See? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Priyanati.